You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
On Brand is brought to you by Social Brand Forum 2016. This industry-leading digital marketing experience brings the best and brightest thought leaders like Jay Baer, Jenny Dietrich, and Joe Polizzi to the heart of the heartland for 2 days of insightful keynotes and tactical how-tos. Get the best rate when you register using promo code ONBRAND at socialbrandforum.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? Today's guest is Eric Munn. Eric is social media lead for Onion Inc.'s creative services division, Onion Labs. Munn began his career at TrainSignal, where he grew the company's social following organically by over 12,000 in less than a year. Shortly thereafter, Munn was recruited by Social at Ogilvy to help run social strategy for brands like CDW, Jim Beam, Pinnacle Vodka, and Braintree. In what one can only assume was a clerical error, Munn was contacted by The Onion in 2014 to lead social strategy for Onion Labs and spends most of his days explaining how jokes work to brand managers. Munn is a graduate of the University of Michigan and asked that all Ohio State alumni, please vacate the premises. As a graduate of an instructor at the University of Iowa, I can only say that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Eric, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks, Nick. Happy to be here.
And yeah, go Big Ten.
Yes, minus one school.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll do. So, this is great. Actually, I used to host a podcast called the Work Talk Show about how work works, by a friend and author colleague named DJ Waldo, and he signed off many a podcast with a quick "Go Blue." So,
oh, great!
I am accustomed to sitting across the virtual table from someone that's in an Ann Arbor state of mind. You know,
there's something in that water for sure that just makes you become a diehard fan,
right? And this kind of is Onion-esque, but there is an Iowa-based t-shirt company that has some pretty witty t-shirts called Ray Gun. And they have a lot of Big Ten theme things, and the one that I sent my Michigan friend was one that said Ann Arbor is a nice girl if you get to know her. So
it's true.
So I love in your bio talking about what one can only assume was a clerical error. That you were contacted by The Onion, and that was, I'm sitting here, with my branding hat on, but also my kind of fun pastime in news and politics, and we're at ground zero now with the Iowa caucuses on the horizon, and so I am, when I need a laugh, I am so dependent on everything that crosses my news feed via social, so there's another intersection from The Onion, and I assumed it was also a clerical error that the On Brand podcast was being contacted by The Onion, and probably, it seemed like I was leaping through the computer saying, yes, I would love to talk with someone and talk a little bit about, because I think there's The Onion that we all know and love, but what's Onion Labs all about?
Sure, sure. So Onion Labs is fairly new. It's just over a year old, coming up on 2 years. And it was started because The Onion, much like every publisher out there, was having the issue of how do we keep all of our careers? We want to keep creating this excellent content. But as publishing saw, they were having an issue of kind of keeping things going, like we've seen with all the major ones out there. But in addition to that, the Onion was constantly getting reached out to by brands to say, we love what you do. Would you write for us or create our next commercial or spot or something along those lines? And the owner at the time of The Onion kept kind of saying, no, you know, this is just not what our editorial team does. And it got to a point where these brands with large, very large budgets, he just couldn't refuse the funds. And so he said, well, why don't we just create an internal ad agency at The Onion that will have the mentality, the writing skills, and understand the Onion audience, and help these brands reach them in large numbers. It's a great way to, one, keep the Onion afloat so that we can keep making that content, as you mentioned, that is great for talking not only about politics, but what's going on in the world in general. And it also allows us to help brands maybe go in a place they haven't been before and maybe go a little edgier, try some new waters, and definitely reach a younger, more engaged audience. So Labs was created, and we've been doing great bringing in some of the most money for The Onion in a long time and doing a really good job of getting brands what they want, which is new, interesting content, but also giving our readers something that doesn't feel like a boring ad placed right in front of their face, but something that actually has that Onion tone and style to it.
Well, that's interesting because I think, you know, we're really, you know, it can be a win-win because, you know, people don't want to, you know, consumers don't want to look at ads as much. So they're looking for different content. Brands are looking for different voices for a edgy, you know, maybe more humorous voice. And that's kind of like for businesses, brands, that's a little bit like the third rail, you know, everybody's a little afraid to grab it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's leaving that in the hands of kind of the trusted pros seems like a smart way to go after that objective.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think one of the things that falls flat by a lot of brands is their attempt to be an Onion or a BuzzFeed or whomever it may be. And that's not who they are. The men and women who work on the brand side for a lot of companies, they know their brand and they know their brand voice, and they should do that and do it well. But I think what happens is when they attempt to try to be funny or try to be something they're not, it's really apparent to not only their current followers that like them for what they are, but that audience that they're trying to go after, it becomes very apparent how false it is. And so coming to a place like Onion Labs allows the brand to still be their brand voice on their channels through their outlets. But by working with us, we can create content for them that will definitely be in the tone that our audience is used to and will be more accepting of it. And will also give a nice reach, a new extended reach to the brand.
Well, you know, you said brands falling flat. And I think, you know, increasingly with social and digital media, as we look at, you know, the proliferation of, like you're talking about, you know, Onion BuzzFeed content, but also just, you know, memes and, you know, things that uh-huh. are funny. I think, you know, and it's not hard to make a meme. It's like anything, like all the digital tools, you know, the real danger is it's not, you know, the barrier to entry is pretty low, but you have to know what you're doing there. And I think when you add humor or an expectation thereof onto that, a lot kind of run blindly towards the flame and end up burned.
Yes, exactly. And what we've got going for us is years of comedy experience. So we definitely know what works and what doesn't. And Onion Labs treats our content the exact same way The Onion does theirs or Clickhole does theirs, which is we meet internally and pitch our ideas to each other. And we have to get nods of approval, hopefully a smile or a laugh from someone. But if anyone has ever listened to the famous This American Life episode where they go into The Onion's room when you hear all the headlines that are pitched. And I've attended these sessions myself. There's somewhere around, gosh, I want to say 200 to 300 headlines pitched each week, and only 15 or so make the cut. And we do the same thing with when we work with brands. So we're knowing we're getting that content that people are going to like, share, engage with, whatever kind of the goal is for the brand. But I think, like you said, people think it's so easy to create a meme, and there's not a lot of testing done or internal kind of gut checks, and a lot of stuff falls flat. And actually, falling flat is actually the best you can probably happen in that scenario. We tell a lot of brands it can go really bad if you put up content that you think is funny and is not. You can automatically start to get a negative reaction from your audience, and they actually start making fun of you as a brand and calling you out. And you don't want that to happen. Falling flat is the best scenario when something goes bad. There can be even worse.
Well, in thinking about that too, I mean, I also think, you know, you talked about those kind of pitch meetings. I also think there's something interesting probably about the idea. I mean, that's what they're, quote, buying from you. But that's got to be a strange thing. I'm using buy and sell in an odd context, but I think it's applicable. In selling humor, that's got to be a tricky notion too, because they've hired you for that. I mean, I think about that even as a brand consultant that, you know, doesn't specifically, you know, trade in humor. It's tricky when you have to explain where you're coming from to your client. But I think when there's that expectation too that, oh, we hired you to do the funny thing, mm-hmm. and what if they don't get it and they're not laughing?
Oh, for sure. That's definitely that comes up a lot of the time, which is us having to explain jokes, why they work, et cetera. What it really comes down to, I think first it's on us as the men and women that work at Onion Labs, are we being clear with our joke? One thing that is very true, I think, what makes The Onion so good, and a lot of people say The Onion is a fake newspaper, where, in my opinion, the best pieces The Onion puts out are those ones where we go, oh my God, that is so true. That is right on point, like what The Onion is commenting on. And I think that's exactly what we try to do with brands. What is it about your consumer? What is it about your product? What is it about the category you're in that is a truth that we can really use and create some humor out of? And so our goal is to make it clear we've found that truth and we found the humor in that truth and shared it to clients. So when we do that really well, clients immediately understand it and go, you've got it, you figured it out. If we've ever dropped the ball in that area, it's because I think we're not being clear about that truth and having to explain the joke then to the client.
Yeah. And you know, like I think like anytime you're working, you know, with all brands to trigger emotions, I think there's this kind of thinking that there's kind of just hippy dippy stuff behind it and nothing really grounded strategically. And no, your objective was X, so that's why we went to Y.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's the biggest reason a lot of the times the jokes land that they do is the explanation about, well, we're hitting this area, which is something we've read about your audience, and we know it works. And I'll just give an example that we did that was a very large hit, which was we had been reached out by Bacardi. They really wanted to do something around the holidays. And the truth we had is, I think what a lot of brands do is like, hey, you should enjoy Bacardi because it's really fun and you'll have a fun time with your friends. But a truth for us was a lot of people enjoy alcohol during the holidays because they're not having a great time. And so we created a set of what we called hashtag real cocktails. And they were actual cocktails you could make. The ingredients and kind of the steps were there. But we threw in a joke for each one. So, for example, we had I believe it was called the Sharon Daiquiri. And it was, you know, X number of cubes of ice, an ounce of Bacardi, some ounce of some other stuff. And then the final step was pour it in a blender and turn it on high to drown out your annoying aunt's laugh during the party. So each cocktail had its joke about what's the annoying or unfortunate thing you're having to deal with during the holiday season. And it spread like fire. People really got into it. I think it worked on two levels because it hit that truth, which are all these different scenarios that we all experience during the holidays that can frustrate us. But it also was a real cocktail, so it allowed people to actually create them, share them. We got a lot of, oh my gosh, we're making this tonight, etc. So those, like you said, you're aiming for X, and you just have to kind of give that Y.
Yeah, and you know, you can totally justify that, because I would think that, you know, the client probably presented the scenario with, you know, we're a spirits brand. This is a, you know, holidays are a big time. We would like something in the zeitgeist there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And kind of figuring out, what the why is in the equation to get there.
Yep.
So in thinking about this, well, what are some of the other challenges that you have kind of straddling that transom between brands and the Onion brand as well?
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing is making sure we're giving people content that they're going to enjoy when they open up their social feeds, no matter the platform. And finding that balance of, we obviously are selling a product or a service, or at least getting people to be interested in it, but we also don't want people to immediately, one, disregard whatever it may be, or two, maybe get upset with the Onion that they're having to see this content on one of the sites that they love. So we definitely have a balancing act of how do we create content that's really funny, engaging, and gets across that client need. And it really does just come back to that truth argument, which is we spend a lot of time thinking about the brand and the consumer and our audience and how they will relate to it. Sometimes brands, different clients we have, are very happy to just be in a brought to you by scenario where the
right.
The content is literally just out there and crazy and funny, and it just says, you know, brought to you by X, Y, or Z. But a lot of the times what we found is really just kind of, what's that use case for your brand that we know our audience can relate to, and giving it to them as a really good piece of content. A big thing we make sure not to do is try to disguise it as Onion content either. Most of the content we make doesn't look like it's a news article or one of the news videos that would be maybe what you would see on the Onion News Network type of content. We don't ever want to trick our readers at all. We want to be very open and upfront that this is a sponsored piece of content made by a brand, so that they understand we know our readers are smart, even though the Onion, I believe the Onion's motto is our readers are stupid or something along those lines. But we know they're very smart. And we also, in this day and age, people are very understanding that sponsoring content needs to exist. They just want it to be good. And so as long as we can make sure it's at that good level of getting them to laugh, getting them to think about the brand in a new way, or even in just thinking about them in general. Sometimes it's just an awareness play. That's our goal, and that's where we see it perform really well.
Well, and I think that firewall is probably critical, because, you know, my next question was going to be, have you gotten any of that blowback of, oh, come on, Onion, with, you know, some of the content that you're creating? Maybe not, if that's, because the delineation you're talking about is really critical.
Yeah, I would say a lot less to almost none.
Yeah.
But I would say that's that's taken time and energy on my part. So as you mentioned, I've been here just pretty much since Onion Labs has started. And early on, there was a lot of learning. And we definitely got, what is this? Oh, my gosh. How's this happening? Where we've now, I think, through working with the because there's an entire social team that works on all the different Onion properties as well. So having conversations with the social team that runs the Onion and runs AV Club and runs Clickle, and talking to them about, you know, what content does your audience react to? How best can Onion Labs work with you? And we've gotten to a point now where not only is Onion Labs content shared by each one of those and performs well, but Onion Labs itself is starting to get a lot of new followers and fans. People get what Onion Labs is and why it exists at the Onion. And when our content comes up, I think it's become really clear, like, oh, okay, this is something branded, but at least we know it's written by the men and women who work at the Onion and should be humorous and good. And we do a lot of data gathering. I'm weekly reporting on how people are responding to certain types of content. And what we've seen change is less of the, oh man, what is this? Get this out of my feed. It now is just goes into the falling flat. If there's a piece of content that Onion Labs puts out that doesn't work, I'm very glad to say we're no longer getting that anger, and more we're just getting no involvement, which we can. We have a lot of data to tell brands when that type of stuff works and when it doesn't. So I think what's really worked is internal communication on how to work with these editorial teams to get content that we know their audience isn't going to have a negative reaction to, and it's done really well.
So speaking of that digital platform, is Onion's Lab content only shared on Onion properties and their social channels, or does it have life beyond that as well?
Yeah, it lives in a lot of places. Primarily, the initial maybe promotion is one through social, and then two through locations on the editorial pages. So on the onion.com, certain sections. So maybe you'll go to the technology section on the Onion, and there'll be some Onion Labs content there from a client that is somehow related to technology. And then they kind of go all over the place. And then the same thing, AV Club, if we're working with maybe if Onion Labs created content maybe for a certain television show or a movie, you would see that maybe on a certain AV Club page. And then the same thing with Clickle. So they live on those pages. And then all the content Onion Labs create is co-owned, or I think it's solely owned by the client we work with. So they will also share it out through their own channels, whatever it may be, their social, their own websites. And we even have some who have shared it through media buys. So they're actually buying banners on other sites where Onion Labs content is working. And then a more recent thing that is a really great feature that we're glad to be a part of is called Facebook Anthology, which Facebook partners with content creators. And what they do is, so the partnership that works is Facebook creates the gathers the data. So a client will go to them and say, we want to reach, I'm just going to make something up here, we want to reach millennials that are looking, that are buying their first home. So Facebook uses their data, because there's so much data on right. Facebook based on everything you do, that they can start to gather some insights about the type of people, like what signs there are, maybe what people do when they're starting to buy a house, et cetera. They then give us that data, and we create content. And so we're the content creators. We then create a campaign. Can be image-based. Usually it's video-based content. And then working together, we can now have that content show up with a really highly targeted to a really highly targeted audience. So they aren't wasting ad buys by just doing a straight promotion of content. This content is being shown to millennials as they're about to buy a home, and it's very relevant to them. They see a lot higher engagement, really good brand awareness play. And we've done a couple of these now for Intel and Progressive and others. And it's this really great combination of using data, which I think is very important, plus really great content combined together make very big hits. So that's a new thing we've been working with, and it's done wonders.
So it's really kind of concentric circles with the Onion platforms, client platforms, additional media buys, and then larger targeting mechanisms like Facebook Anthology as well.
Exactly.
So on the other side of this, are there brands that the ones that are hesitant? I mean, are you getting full-fledged people through the door that said, we need us some Onion. We get the humor thing, which I kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit calling it the humor thing. But do you get any other skeptics that you have to sell a little bit more on why you might be the right fit?
I can peripherally speak to it. I'm not too involved in the sales, and once I'm brought in to help out, it's usually because a proposal has at least reached the stage where they're interested to hear from us. But having talked with our men and women on the sales team that have that, I would say it definitely favors on the other side, which are just brands saying, we want to work with the Onion. We saw what you did for Bacardi, for example, or whoever. We thought that was great. How can we work with you? And it actually is a really great starting point. Where I would say the hesitancy comes in is that's one person at the client organization, right? So that might be the CMO or even lower level, just a brand manager that says, I'd love to work with the Onion. So we work with them, start creating the content. It's once it starts to get a little higher, the bigger hesitancy comes from lawyers, for sure, are the biggest that we have a lot of conversations with about what we can and can't do. And then when you get when you start to reach kind of larger heads at an organization, CEOs, presidents, et cetera, that might not understand the Onion or might not understand the jokes, that you start to get a little more hesitancy. And what it comes down to, though, at those moments is just a pick your battle situation. Some jokes we'll really fight for because we really think they're great and we don't want them to go away. And others will say, we get it. This might have pushed the boundaries. We can adjust, et cetera. So there's a lot of working back and forth. But I think the big plus we have going for us is we know the humor and they trust us, and that they believe us because we've had the years of experience creating it, where this might be a new thing for them. And they're more just wanting to make sure they're not going to get in trouble from any legal side of things. So as long as we've got that covered, a lot of the time they're more than happy to work with us.
Well, it's interesting you talk about that level of trust too, because I think sometimes it could be easy to miss, as irreverent as the Onion brand is, it is a trusted brand in what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And a very, I mean, a very powerful brand, I think, in terms of lacking a phrase for the category, humorous publication, comedy, mm-hmm. And that is a big asset in terms of, I mean, especially as we look at kind of the millennials and the meme culture and all of this stuff that is so dependent on these quick hits. That's not, I mean, brands struggled enough with straight on content. That's what I spend most of my time talking about. Most brands struggle with the fact that, oh, we aren't a publisher of stuff. How are we going to create blog posts and videos?
Mm-hmm.
And, you layer comedy on top of that, and it's a skill set that with many does not exist.
Yeah. I mean, a big kudos goes to Rick Hammond, who is our chief creative officer. The great thing about Rick is, so he sees over all, not just Labs, but also all the different editorial platforms as well. So he's really hands-on and reviews every piece of work and wants to make sure that it's as good at whatever the Labs is creating meets that standard of what the Onion does, and that the Onion is always still meeting its standard and so forth, so that we have to be on top of our game. And one plus is, since this is pretty much what we do every day for multiple hours a day, much like anything, you just start to really learn what is a good joke and what is not, and what's going to fail and what is not. And it really helps to have that kind of practice over and over, and data over and over again, so that clients can trust you and you have a good batting average, if you will, of good comedy coming out, and you don't have to really defend it too much.
Are there times when brands should leave comedy in the toolbox? I mean, are there situations that, as an expert in this, that you and the folks at the Onion would say, nope, that's not where we should go in this particular incident?
I think not the only rule, but one of the big rules that we follow here is what we call punching up. We never want to make fun of those that are down. You always want to kind of make fun of those high up, which is why we like to make fun of politicians or people in charge or someone who's kind of bullying others. We never want to make fun of the one being bullied, the one who has their hands tied, etc. So whenever there's scenarios like that, that's where we'll maybe avoid. But I wouldn't say there's any brand that shouldn't do humor. We've worked with all types of things. We've worked with Get Covered Illinois, which is healthcare coverage, the public healthcare option, and many would wonder, how do you work humor into that? But we've worked with them for 2 years in a row now, and both were very successful campaigns. And we've worked with brands that do everything from dog food to alcohol brands. So I wouldn't say there's any one we wouldn't work with. It's really just finding that scenario that we can make some jokes about that, again, we feel are punching up and have some truth behind them. I think where a lot of brands fall flat, in my opinion, is not only fall flat but just kind of go poorly, is where I think they just straight up copy something that's happening in the news or popular, where they'll say, like, Kanye tweeted something, so we're going to tweet a very similar phrase to this and share it out. And I think this is maybe just an issue because it's something we see happen here at The Onion a lot, which are people taking our content and sharing it out as though it's their own. And I think the social world has seen this and gets very frustrated by it when content that people spend a lot of time and energy creating is then just kind of hijacked by someone else. And so I think when brands just see something doing well, so they go, oh, that's really funny, well, let's just do our own version of that, it shows a lack of originality and a lack of respect, in my opinion, for the people who did create that original piece of content. And I think that's where we see a lot of negative.
Yeah, because it's easier instead of doing something to just grab that and say, that's ours, or kind of worse, like you said, kind of copying something, because it's like, I mean, it's true everywhere, but I think especially with comedy, you know, is that the echo is never quite as funny as as the original.
That's an area that we actually deal a lot of with, and not so much the echo, but one of the hardest problems working with brands. So the editorial team here turns stuff out super quick, right? There's the Monday morning headline pitching, and content is literally coming out that day, if not the next day. So you have a very quick turnaround. Working with brands is very different. You have to write a joke, a script, whatever it may be. That then has to be reviewed not only by brand managers or clients, but then by lawyers. And any joke that you've now read 20 times in a row,
right,
starts to lose its punch for sure.
Oh,
so
the overanalyzed echo.
Really hoping that we, you know, can keep that energy level up, and testing with a lot of new audiences. We'll have just random people in the office watch a rough cut of something or read a script to just be like, are we still good here? Because you definitely is hard to keep that the humor up when you've read something that many times.
Yeah, that's an interesting process point too, because as fast and loose as most comedy creation is, yeah, when you have to take something and get it approved by legal and mm-hmm. You sit there kind of over maybe sometimes explaining it
exactly.
With reason, like we've talked about, And it's maybe, I could see that danger of kind of you've dissected the thing to a point, well, I don't even understand what this is anymore.
Yeah, you're looking at the molecular level of, or like, why is she blinking? Yeah exactly. Yeah.
Now I'm not sure why. But what I really like that you said in there, too, is I think at the very beginning of all of that was that I don't know if there's anybody that can't benefit. And I think sometimes it's easy to kind of pull the excuse alarm of, we can't do that. That's real funny that, you know, that Bacardi, you know, I mean, that's a great example, too, because people are like, oh, you know, booze brands are fun. We can't be fun. And you look and you see that even the CIA has a little bit of fun on Twitter.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, as we start to wrap, and it's traditionally the time in the show when I ask my guest for a brand that has made them smile, and I have to say that The Onion is one that obviously makes me smile, but specifically, whoever writes The Onion's version of Joe Biden is one of my favorite humans. I will probably link up to it in the show notes out of obligation to myself. But if I ever want to cry with laughter, reading the one about him finding the spool of copper wire that he's then trying to move on the streets of Washington is continuously one of my favorite laughs.
Excellent. Yeah, we love the team here does a really great job of, once we've established an identity for a kind of political candidate or individual, it's leveraged a lot of times. And Joe Biden is that kind of crazy, adventurous sidekick guy who is doing almost anything but politics. And we have a framed photo in the office, actually, of Joe Biden on a Harley Davidson with his shirt off, kind of giving the rock and roll salute, and it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, you have committed to that character. It's it was not like a quick one and done laugh.
No.
That's he's everywhere, hightailing it to Mexico to get away from the stories and all kinds of good stuff. So you. It has to be harder for someone trading in this stuff, too. Do you have any smiles left at the end of the day? Who's a brand that has made you smile?
When I was asked to be on this, and thank you again, Nick, for having me on, I am amazed. And I think it takes a lot for a brand, and I understand the pressure someone who is a brand manager on a client side having to try to push through funny content. And when I see it, I love it. And I definitely think there are plenty of brands out there doing really funny, great stuff. And I hope it's okay. I have two that I wanted to give a shout out to because I think they're both doing really great. And one I think is that a lot of people will know of, and another is a smaller one. And I'll do the smaller one first. It's a chicken restaurant chain out of Australia called Chicken Treat. And what they did, which I think was so smart, because what they've learned, what they realized, and I think a lot of brands are starting to kind of figure this out, a simple, silly social stunt gets so much PR play for that day that you will get a great amount of organic engagement and a lot of press. And what this Australian chicken chain did was, for a day, let a chicken control their Twitter account, which meant the chicken was just pecking at a keyboard and whatever came out. And it was never... It was all nonsense. It never made sense. But people were watching it all day, following it, retweeting it. And I think it just kind of highlighted, one, how ridiculous Twitter can be, right? Like, literally, what's the difference sometimes between the scratch a chicken would put out and what a lot of us put out? But also just a way for this chicken brand, because they could have easily done, hey, we've got a great sandwich or, you know, great food or whatever. They just said, let's have some fun with this. And I just thought that was a great play. And it definitely introduced the brand to me and showed that they have a sense of humor, which I'm always happy to see. But that was a very one-off thing. I think a brand that continually does really well And they have a luxury of being a comedic show, but I think they're doing a really good job of an online presence. Is Silicon Valley, the HBO show. They've done a few things now that I think are fantastic. First, when the show was first premiering, they actually put up a fake "we're hiring" ads on Facebook, where you could go through and see the company hires that were currently there. So they had fake bios for all the characters on the show, a fake website, and it was it actually looked like your kind of generic Web 2.0 company website, with the ability to actually submit your own resume, which I thought was really funny. And then for those who follow the show, and I apologize if this is a spoiler, they announced that they have this ability to stream content really well. Very, you know, like the way they sell their product on the show is they can have millions of people watching and there wouldn't be any lag. Well, unfortunately, the only person that would buy their software on the show is this nature preserve. And the only thing it streams is an egg in an eagle's nest that's not moving at all. And you could, as a person, live stream this from your own computer at home, which I thought was an excellent extension of this show onto the social space and the digital space. And they're just, I think, really knocking it out of the park at poking fun of the Silicon Valley space, but bringing fans and people in on the joke and having some fun with it. I loved what they're doing, and I'm excited. I know the new season's coming, so it'll be interesting to see what they've got coming up.
I've got a friend that works in market research, and whenever he sees something that's a good fit for their audience, he always talks about, says that they know they're humans. And I feel like that show knows they're humans really well, because it's a great mix of what they're saying and where they're saying it too.
Yes, for sure.
So, fun aside on the serious business of the podcast, where can we point folks to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Twitter is probably the best way. It's at emunn. That's E-M-U-N-N. And if you want to learn more about Onion Labs, go to mediakit.theonion.com and check us out. You'll see case studies, but please reach out. If you also want to see more of what Onion Labs does, it's facebook.com/onionlabs, twitter.com/onionlabs. We're also on Instagram. And those are probably the best ways to reach me and learn more about what I do.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in the show notes. Eric, thanks for joining us on Brand.
Thanks, Nick.
And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community. Wanted to give a shout to Joe Morris, who gave us a shout listening to last week's social soundbite over on Twitter. Joe, thanks for listening. And a reminder, if you heard something that you liked on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know on Twitter using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. As I said, I'll link up to everything over at BrandDrivenDigital.com. There you can also find information for how to subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating or review, help others find the show. And a reminder that On Brand is brought to you by the Social Brand Forum. This premier digital marketing experience takes place September 22nd through the 23rd in beautiful Iowa City, Iowa. Learn from experts like Jay Baer, Joe Palizzi, and Ginny Dietrich in the heart of the heartland. Listeners of the show get the best rate when they register using promo code ONBRAND at socialbrandforum.com. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.